Talk.
You're listening to It Matters with Kelly Cords on AM 1240 and 95.3 FM WJON.
Oh, welcome back. It's 11:38. Looks like about 8 degrees here in St. Cloud. It's time for our senior spotlight. And today we are talking about 988. We have talked about this in the past, but we have a different perspective today. Scott Roeder is joining us. He's a retired businessman who worked at Marco Technologies. He's been married to his wife, Rain, for 37 years. 4 children, Michelle, Jamie, Jackson, and Cassie. They also have 2 grandchildren, Violet and Levi. He is also a suicide loss survivor. He lost his son, Jackson, to suicide 7 years ago. And he is an active advocate for mental health and suicide prevention. His advocacy includes being on the Minnesota NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness Legislative Committee, a member of the Minnesota State Suicide Prevention Task Force and co-chair of the Postvention Committee, an American Foundation for Suicide Prevention Minnesota board member. He's an AFSP Healing Conversations representative, a member of Central Minnesota United Way's Mental Health Committee, on leadership team of the Central Minnesota Suicide Prevention Coalition, and a member of the Diocese of St. Cloud Mental Health Ministry Team, and he leads the Jackson Roeder Memorial Fund. It's jacksonroeder.com to honor his son. He also loves golf, and he's joining us today to talk about this really important topic. And Scott, I really, really appreciate you spending some time with us, having the experience that you've gone through and being part of all of these things, I'm sure, to honor your son, who I'm sure you love very much and is still alive in your heart today. This is a big thing that they have created, this 988 number. I know that it was in the creation stage for quite a while.
Yeah, the 988, I think, is one of the most key things that has come out here in the, you know, for helping people who are struggling. And it gives tools to all of us as community members, to our kiddos, to seniors, gives us an easy access point to get help.
Yeah. For you, you're so involved in so many different things. Were you a part of the conversation about 988 and how to get it out there, how to make sure that they have the right response teams on the other end of the number?
I was active on the legislative committees that talked to the politicians. I talked to our local legislators to make sure they supported the passage of 988. And here in Minnesota, what people don't know is the passage of it to be funded for the future. In Minnesota, it's part of our phone bill. Most people don't know there's a charge for 911 on our phone bill. It's, you know, about 20 cents. Now 988 is similar and will be supported going forward. So it was really great to have that support from our legislators to make sure 988 continues in the future.
And so is 988, is that charge like across the board, whether you have home service or whether you have a cell phone?
It's across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so good to know, right? Yeah, you're right. I had no idea that that's how we were paying for it. I just assumed that it was something that was nationwide and it was somehow coming out of taxes in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah, no, it's important that we continue with this.
You know, you are kind of have a special way that you're working closely with is obviously doing everything you can to make sure that we have access, right? Our children have access, that you've experienced this firsthand. I know that you're working closely with Lisa Burschak, who is a suicide program prevention manager at Center Care in St. Cloud.
Yeah, this fall, I talked to Lisa, and I said to her, you know, about 15% of Minnesotans even know what 988 is, and we need to get the word out, and especially for our students. And I knew that Lisa, prior to COVID, had put up banners in some of the local schools in central Minnesota. They were the 1-800 crisis number, which was, you know, kind of a long number to remember. Yeah. for suicide prevention. And I said, hey, Lisa, we need to update those banners with 988. So Lisa and the local coalition I'm on for suicide and the Jackson Fund came up with a new banner for 988. And I told Lisa to give me the list of the local schools, and I started calling. And I started meeting with superintendents and principals and social workers and counselors, and the response has been tremendous. They're very welcoming in getting 98 into their schools. And for me, going out to these schools, I've learned how important these people are in taking care of our kids. Because it's not just about, you know, math and science anymore. They're taking care of, you know, food insecurity, transportation, mental health challenges for kiddos. So I thank all these people in our education system for the good work they're doing. And they're getting 988 banners into their cafeterias, and they're giving messaging to the students to let them know they have a tool. And as most know, for young people, text. And 988 is you can call, you can text, or you can chat. So that's the mission I've been on this fall, and have been out to 12 of our school districts in central Minnesota.
Wow. So, I mean, it must cost something to get these banners made. And, of course, I'm sure you would like to see these everywhere. Is there a way for people to say, hey, I want to jump on this bandwagon and kind of help out?
Well, I use the Jackson Rotor Memorial Fund, and people have been very supportive financially for the work we're doing in central Minnesota. And I define central Minnesota as the four counties, Stearns, Benton, Sherburn, and Wright. And what I did a couple of weeks ago is so I started with Lisa's list. I thought, well, I went and Googled all the districts in the four counties, and I've covered 12, and this first quarter of the year, I'm catching the next 13. So I will catch all 25 districts in central Minnesota. And it'll end up being about 50 schools with banners. And I've talked to all the administration so that the appropriate messaging goes out when they go up. In addition to that, I'd share is that this week, the first 988 banner went up in our community. The YMCA, who was friends of ours, put up a 988 banner in their lobby. Oh. And messaging went out to all their employees as well. So in addition to the schools, we're catching our community as well.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's really great that this is getting out there. I guess I'd like to ask you how young, I mean, how many kids, when do they have phones? Are they having phones when they're 9 and 10 years old, or are they teenagers? Because it's a big part of it is being able to access some way to be able to call this number when they don't want to reach out to anyone else.
For sure. Well, I know my granddaughter has one, and she's in eighth grade, and I think she's had it for a few years, so maybe around sixth or seventh grade they get it. But I know that when kids are struggling and they're meeting with their counselors, and counselors may know that these kiddos might be a little bit at risk, they're helping them with putting 988 into their contacts. And if they don't want it to say 988, they may make a different name like Charlie or so forth, so that if there is a struggle or they have a friend who's struggling, they can text that, you know, easily from their contacts. So it's a good tool.
It really is a good tool. So the banners are going up. As you're going to these different schools, are you putting them in elementary, middle school, and high schools, or how are you deciding where to put them?
It's up to the school, and, you know, and the messaging from 988, for me talking to you about 988, me talking to my granddaughter, is just two different talk tracks. And so they have to have the appropriate talk tracks about how to utilize 988 and how to get that information to the students. It's pretty much been the junior highs or middle schools and high schools. So that's pretty much where it's been going.
Yeah.
But a lot of cafeterias in the high schools predominantly.
Do you think a lot of kids, the 988 is because of student bullying, or do you think it has to do with, you know, a lot of social media? What do you think it is that's causing our youth today to really struggle with who they are and making that decision?
Oh, I just think the demands of our lives today, and it's probably all the things you mentioned. I think part of it is the stigma of mental health, the stigma of suicide. And I would say our young kids are better at it than some of us, our older populations, at talking about our mental health. We have physical health and we have mental health. I mean, one in five of us will struggle with a mental health condition in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. And we should be able to talk about it just like we talk about diabetes or cancer. We need to get help and it should be readily available. And I think our young people talk more about it. And I want the tools in place so that if someone's struggling, typically a young person's going to talk to their friend prior to talking to their parents.
Yeah.
These kids need to have the tools to get help for their friends.
I have heard many times, like when we've had discussions with other people, that, you know, you can really stop this if you can jump in there at the right time and know kind of what's going on or look for some signs. But sometimes you just don't have any signs at all, because people that are considering suicide, young or middle school, younger than that, high school, even older, they don't want to bring anybody else down around them, so they just carry it on the inside.
Yeah, and that's there's trainings now that are out there, like QPR, which is question, persuade, refer, and it does give warning signs, you know, what to look for, what to respond to. So there's trainings that can help understand that and get help for people, and those go on throughout the communities, but it's called QPR, and I think that's a good tool for people to take and understand.
I think it's just as important as taking a class in CPR if you're a parent, right? It's another lifeline.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. It's. Do you know when people call 988, I know that there's qualified help on the other side, but can they distinguish when they're texting with a 9-year-old versus a 43-year-old by the way they text? And do they have, if I don't know if you know this, but do they have specific people that deal with certain age groups, like maybe younger people are different to deal with than somebody that maybe need help that's in their 30s?
Well, as you know, 988 is 24/7. It's confidential.
Yeah.
And when that call comes in, based on your phone number, it goes to the appropriate call center in your region. We have 4 call centers in Minnesota. So it's coming to Minnesota if you're in Minnesota. And they're trained professionals that will talk you through the crisis. If they, I'm not sure if they determine your age. I don't know the actual talk tracks. But what I like is that they talk, you know, a mental health crisis needs a mental health response. And that's what these people are doing. And if they're not able to get this situation in the appropriate place, they will do a handoff to the local mobile crisis who will come out to help out. You know, it's really important. I think the whole purpose of 988 is someone to talk to, someone to respond, and a safe place for help.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's really the purpose.
The purpose of it. The Jackson Roeder Memorial Fund, jacksonroeder.com. It's J-A-C-K-S-O-N, Roeder, R-O-E-D-E-R.com. Tell me a little bit about your fund for in honor of your son.
Well, you know, it's very devastating to lose my son, but after the funeral, we decided that all the money that came in, we should start something to make a difference in central Minnesota. And our goal is really to help young people. You know, there were gaps in Jackson's care that we want to close. And that's really what the fund's purpose has been about for all 7 years. And we support a lot of the local suicide prevention walks. We've supported Out of the Darkness, Let the Sunshine Run. We've brought documentaries to central Minnesota. Last fall, we brought the documentary My Ascension about a suicide attempt survivor, a young person who took an attempt of her life in high school. Mm-hmm. And she came out and spoke to the junior seniors of Tech, and she spoke to the junior seniors of Apollo after watching her documentary. And the questions that came in from the kiddos anonymously while she was on a panel just shows that there are stresses out there for our young people. And we had counselors available for helping them immediately or after the presentation. And those are, you know, we sponsored her to come. And those are the things that we're doing with Jackson's Fund to make a difference.
So if people want to donate to that fund, they can still do that. That's an ongoing thing, the JacksonRoeder.com?
Yep, and there's a donate button when you go to that website.
Okay, yeah.
If you look on Jackson's site, he was a gifted painter. And we've sold reprints of his paintings. I actually just sold my 197th reprint. And those funds that we get from selling his paintings go to the Jackson Fund.
Wow.
So, but you'll see he was a gifted architect and artist, and we have that on the website, but we also share our story. And we have mental health resources on the site. So if you go to resources, we have resources on bullying, mental health, suicide prevention, and suicide postvention. So it's a nice website.
Yeah. Well, I'm just so glad that you've been able to, think about this and go, you know what? Yeah, we need to get these banners out there. Yeah, because we have the number. How long is it going to take to really get that in people's heads? I don't know how long it took for 911 to stick. You know, I don't know in the very beginning. I don't know the history of 911 or what year it came in or how long it took.
I have a nice webinar about that. It took 988 probably, I want to say, close to 20 years. To today, when you call 911, you know someone's going to be at your door. If it's in a metro area, in about 8 minutes, and probably 12 minutes if it's rural. If you call 988, people already know to call 988. But we need to have it that automatic, like 911.
Right,
there's a mental health crisis. Call 988.
And thus the 988, and making it a 3-digit, easy to remember number.
And we want it to be known quicker than 20 years. I think we can expedite that.
Yeah, we certainly can. And all of us, if we have our own social media, you could take a picture of a sticky note. We should all do it together and write 988 on a sticky note. Take a photo of it, put it on our Facebook page and say, remember, if you are needing help, this is the number to call. Put it in your phone. I've got that number on my refrigerator. I've got three sons that are in their 20s. But in the past, this issue has come up in my family. And I worry, and I want to make sure they have access to the number if they need help, and there's someone there to talk to them. And sometimes a simple intervention just for 30 seconds can help this idea pass, the ideation, I guess, of suicide, or people getting so lost in their head that they, they don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. Sometimes just having a few minutes with someone can turn that path around.
Yeah, you're spot on, Kelly. We have to have the conversation. We, as a parent, I have, three daughters, and I want to make sure they're always in the proper place. And we just have to have conversations with one another. How's your physical health? How's your mental health? And and not poo-poo things. If there's someone struggling, it's a struggle, and we got to make sure we get them help and not tough it out, the old days.
So. Right. Oh, yeah. So many times you'll hear people say, They're threatening again. Oh, I'm so tired of it. They're never going to do it. It's like, why would you even say that? Why would you even give it a chance? You don't know. You never know what's really going on with somebody. You don't know if they're reaching out for help. You should just assume that message, or if you've heard something like that, that is a cry for help. Try to be supportive. Try to be understanding, and maybe say, have you ever reached out to 988? Call this number if you're feeling like this. Or sit and talk to me. But if they won't talk to you, show them that you care, that somebody cares, and that somebody is there.
Call 988 together. Hey, let's call 988 together right now.
Yeah.
And that's, if you're a friend of someone who's struggling, and that's what the resource is for.
That's what it's for. Scott, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for what you're doing, for being so involved in all this and making sure that the number is getting out there, and let's get this happening quicker than 20 years. We need everybody to know about it as soon as possible. So thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to be here today.
Absolutely. It's Scott Roeder. Again, the Jackson Roeder Memorial Fund is jacksonroeder.com. It's JACKSON. Roeder is ROEDER.com. JacksonRoeder.com. If you would like to donate to the Memorial Fund so we can see more of these 988 banners out there in our community. I think Scott's taking the lead here. He's absolutely right. We've got young people. They don't know that 988 exists. They haven't heard that conversation. If the schools are doing it, we're putting up big posters where they can see them. The YMCA now has it. It's not going to be enough. We need more. We need more. So we're so glad that he's taking the lead on that and helping out.